Some have asked me, Pastor, tell me, what's your costume today? I am Clark Kent. I'm in disguise today. Hey, but how many of you, when you were watching that, you're kind of my age, or maybe just a little bit older, maybe just a little bit younger, and it took you back to the Saturday morning cartoons? Did it take any of you back there? And how many of us throughout life, we've looked at the superheroes, and everybody's got their favorite, and I've been told that I've got to make sure that I don't mix up superhero worlds together, because that's a really bad thing to do if you're a real superhero fan. And so I want to be real careful not to do that. But you got your favorite superhero, and the reality is, most of us at some point in our life, we aspired to the greatness. There's something, I think that there's something inside all of us that aspires to greatness. That God has put something inside of us, a desire inside of us, that we know that we can sometimes rise up and be more than what we maybe have been. Because the reality is, we've all been born into this world in sin. We've all been born with issues and stuff in our life that isn't beautiful, isn't pretty, mistakes that we make, and we all wish that we could go back and do it. But there's that something inside of us that I believe God's put inside of us that says that we can be better, that we can do more, and that aspires us to that level of greatness. And I think that's really kind of what the whole superhero theme is all about. It's all about, you know, what is it that I could be? If I was to lay aside the weaknesses in my life and I was to really become everything that God wants me to be, what could I be? Sometimes in that desire, we think about the different superpowers and what all the, you know, if we could have the strength of the Hulk and, you know, be strong enough to do whatever needed to be done. Everybody wishes they could fly, right? We've all wished that we were Superman and we could fly. That would be cool, right? Or have X-ray vision. Wait a minute. Some of you moms already have that, I think. Did your kids figure that out, that mom has X-ray vision? Like, how did she know that? How did she see me? I thought I had that all hidden, right? You know, at first glance, when we look at the superheroes, we might have a tendency to think that they were perfect. I mean, that they just had it all together. But the reality is, while they had great strengths and great abilities, and yeah, they could, you know, leap over buildings in a single bound and, you know, stronger than a locomotive and all the other things that they were capable of doing, the reality is, for all of their strengths, they all had drawbacks. They all had weaknesses. They all had vulnerabilities. They all had villains in their lives that were out to get them and to destroy them. And when you begin to think of the superhero themes in that light, maybe you begin to realize maybe we've got more in common with the superheroes than we sometimes realize. Because how many of you know that we've all got a villain that's working against us? Yeah. He's out there trying to steal and kill and destroy. He's out there trying to take advantage of the vulnerabilities, the weaknesses in our lives, trying to use those against us. And so all of us have those weaknesses. You see, the reality is every hero has their kryptonite. Every hero has their weakness. Every hero has their vulnerabilities. We use the term kryptonite to describe Superman, you know, from the planet Krypton. And so if anything from his planet touched him, it would render him really powerless, as it were. But all of the other superheroes, they had their weaknesses as well. I mean, think about, I don't know if anybody follows the Green Lantern, but the Green Lantern, one of the superheroes, his weakness is the color yellow. That's a little lame, actually, when I was thinking about it. I mean, the color yellow. But it would render him powerless. So, I mean, if you ever needed the Green Lantern to come to your aid, I hope you're not wearing a yellow shirt, right? Because, you know, he's just going to be rendered powerless by that. Wonder Woman could be bound by her own lariat of truth. How about Flash, the fastest human alive? But his weakness was that if he ran too fast, he could actually destroy himself. They had their weaknesses. They had those inabilities. Spider-Man had those insecurities. Peter did, that he was all the time dealing with his own level of insecurities. So maybe we've got more in common with these superheroes than we realize, because here's the truth. Every one of us in this room, We all have weaknesses like the superheroes did. But I want to tell you something else. Every one of you in this room, you have strengths as well. You have some superhero strengths that God has put inside of you. Gifts that God has given to you that make you specially capable of doing whatever the task is that God wants you to do. Every one of you are gifted. You know, the enemy wants us to not see those gifts. The enemy wants to try to push those gifts into the background. He wants us to see our own weaknesses and our own flaws. But I want to tell you today, God loves every one of you, and he's put inside of you strengths, abilities. You know, we talked about athletes earlier. Maybe that is a strength that you have, an athleticism, or maybe you've got a sharp mind, and it's a great ability that God has given to you. Maybe you have a great sense of humor, and you use that to make other people feel good. Maybe you're the kind of person that you just have a great gift of kindness and gentleness about you. Have you ever known that kind of person that you just wanted to be around because they had a gift of encouragement, and they just knew how to make you feel better? They had ability to just listen to you. That is a gift that you've been given if you have that kind of a gift. And so every one of you have strengths that God has put in your life. Now, maybe some of those strengths are lying dormant, and they need to be raised up by the power of Jesus Christ and anointed by the power of Jesus Christ to become everything that God intended for you to be. But every one of us have strengths in our lives, even as we also have those weaknesses. You know, it's not just the superheroes, it's not just me and you, but even the Bible heroes. When we look at the heroes in the Bible, you begin to realize that, yeah, they were some incredible individuals and they did some awesome things for God, but it wasn't because they were perfect. It wasn't because they had it all together. They had some stuff together, but all of them had some issues in their life, some areas in their life that wasn't everything that we would want to emulate. We would look at people like Moses, for instance. Moses was a great man of God. God used him to set a whole nation free from the most powerful nation on earth. He set the Israelites free from the Egyptians through the power of God. I mean, it was Moses that would stand in Pharaoh's palace and declare that the different plagues were coming. It was Pharaoh that would stand at the Red Sea and hold out. It was Moses. Did I say Pharaoh? It was Moses. It was Moses. Ah, here we go. It was Moses. I see, all of us have our weaknesses, right? Even the preacher can get tongue-tied every once in a while, right? It was Moses that stood there with the staff in his hand over the Red Sea, and it opens up for the nation of Israel to walk through. Moses, who would speak to a rock, and water would come. I mean, Moses did some incredible things. But did you know that Moses had some issues in his life as well? How about the day that he killed a man? I'd call that a weakness in his life. You know, he had a little temper problem there, wasn't able to control himself the way that he ought to have been able to. How about when he's standing there before God and God has given him the instructions about, you know, at the burning bush, and he's telling him about going and setting the people free, and Moses is standing there saying to God, but God, I got a speech problem. I got a speech impediment. I don't know if he stuttered. I don't know exactly what it was, but he felt like, I can't talk plainly. I can't do this. My brother's the one with the eloquent tongue. You need to use him, not me. Moses, the great man that he was, but he had weaknesses in his life. And it would take the power of God to overcome those things and to make him into who God really wanted him to be as he surrenders to the Lord. How about David? We all think about David. He's one of the heroes. Everybody who knows any Bible stories, we think about David and Goliath. David, the little boy with the slingshot. How many of us boys have had our slingshot and we imagined ourselves to be David slaying a giant? All we did was broke the neighbor's window, you know. But we aspire to someone great like David. I mean, David, he, you know, takes on a bear and a lion with his bare hands. He defeats Goliath the giant. He becomes the king of Israel and defeats all of the nations around him. But David had some issues in his life. Remember when he was first selected to be the king of Israel? He wasn't even chosen to come. He wasn't even invited to the party. They left him out in the field. They thought, he is so unqualified. But David was the one that God had chosen. Maybe sometimes you feel like you've been overlooked by people. You feel like nobody's ever seen anything good inside of me. I want to tell you, God sees the good inside of you. God's got a calling on your life. David had to deal with that all of his life. And of course, we know later on he had the issue where he's lusted after Bathsheba and a son is conceived. And then he's hiding that by having her husband killed. I mean, this is one of the guys that we look up to and we admire as a hero of the faith. And yet, he had some issues in his life. Abraham, we call him the father of the faithful. He's a father of faith, man of great faith. And yet, do you remember that Abraham had a problem with lying in his life? Yeah. He lied about his wife, said that she was just his sister. Well, there was a kind of a half-truth in that because she was a half-sister situation, but it was his wife, and he lied in order to try to cover his own skin, you know, to protect his own self. I mean, this is man, Abraham, that we look up to. And he had those issues in his life. We can keep going right on through. You know, not only did David have women problems, but how about Samson, the great man of strength that he was? You know, the guy with the long hair, the only way that they could, you know, when he cut his hair, he lost his strength. He had Delilah in his life. He had the women issues in his life. He struggled with some stuff. And yet, somehow, in spite of all of that, the Spirit of the Lord would come upon him. The power of God would move in his life. He would do some incredible things for the sake of God and his people. There's Rahab. Let's talk about one of the women that was a hero, a heroine of the Old Testament. She recognized, she lived in the city of Jericho, and she recognized that God was doing something great through those Israelite people that were coming into the land. And so she decided that she was going to hide the spies that were spying out her own city. And later on, she would hang the scarlet cord out the window. And when the armies came in and the walls came down, her and her family that were inside that room, they were spared. But remember Rahab. We don't just call her Rahab. Rahab, this woman who would later be listed in the genealogy of Jesus, one of only just a couple of women that were listed there, she was Rahab the harlot, Rahab the prostitute, Rahab the woman with a past. And yet God could use her throughout, disregarding all of the mistakes and the failures that she's made in her life, God is still able to use her. Peter, looking in the New Testament, we see Peter, this man of faith, this disciple who walks on water, and yet he had a problem cursing. He had a problem with fear. He let a little girl say, "I know who you are." "No, you don't. I never knew the man." Remember? That's Peter. Peter, who later on in his life, even in an established ministry time, was such a proud Jew that he wouldn't associate with the Gentiles. And Paul had to rebuke him because of the racist issues that he was dealing with. These are people that God was still able to use. The Apostle Paul, one of the greatest of all of the New Testament people, and yet he would say of himself, "I am the chief of sinners." Apostle Paul, who would do so much to advance the church, but in the early part of his life, he was murdering Christians. And yet, God was able to use him. Why are you saying all of these things? Because I want you to get in your spirit today that God has put the potential inside of you to do some incredible things if you'll surrender your life to Jesus, despite the weaknesses, despite the failures, despite your past, despite your mistakes, that if you will just surrender your life and say yes to Jesus, he can use you to do some incredible things. We're talking about all of these folks that had the mistakes and the errors in their life. Well, that's everybody but Jesus. He was different. He was different. Jesus, the Son of God, walk on this earth as a man. And it's sometimes hard for us to wrap our head around how he could be fully God and fully man at the same time, but he was. And as a man, he walks on this earth and he faces all of the manner of temptation that we face. And yet, he never fell to any of it. He overcame every temptation in his life. Hebrews 4:15 puts it this way. This high priest, talking about Jesus, this high priest of ours understands our weaknesses. I want to tell you today, Jesus understands your weaknesses. He understands. He understands and he cares. You see, the enemy, our villain, Satan, he's the accuser of the brethren. He's the one that points out your mistakes. He's the one that points out your flaws. He's the one who tries to tell you, you can't do it, and you'll never make it, and you'll never overcome, and you're not good enough. That's what the enemy says. But Jesus understands our weakness. And there's a Bible verse that says that Jesus did not come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. You see, if there was anyone who had a leg to stand on when it came to accusing, if there was anyone who could have condemned, if there was anyone who could have said, well, you're not measuring up, it would have been Jesus because he was the perfect one. But he does not come to condemn. I want to tell you, condemnation, that comes from the enemy. That comes from the enemy. That comes from the villain of your soul that's trying to destroy you and keep you back from the destiny that God has placed inside of you. But Jesus, he knows your weakness. Yes, he does. He understands your weakness. And then he offers you the power to overcome it. He wants to lift us up. He wants to provide us hope, not to destroy us, not to speak down, not to push us back and say you can't and call us a failure. He's here to strengthen us. Jesus conquered all of those temptations in order to provide us victory in our lives. You see, Jesus, he knows your weakness, and we all have them, but he doesn't want us to live in those weaknesses. He doesn't want us to stay there. When I have talked about all these weaknesses of these Bible heroes or superheroes or us or whatever, I'm not saying let's use that as an excuse to keep living the way that we've been living, because see, Jesus came to overcome all of that. That's why the Apostle Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. That the Holy Spirit is living inside of us. Jesus, he would go away and he would send the Holy Spirit, who would be our comforter, our helper, the one who is called alongside of us to strengthen us so that we're not walking this journey all by ourselves. We're not trying to do, I'm not asking you to do something in your own strength. I'm asking you to let the Holy Spirit, let the power of God surrender to that. Surrender your life to him and watch what God is able to do in us and through us. Because here's what I know. We're living in a world that needs people like me and you to step out and love them and to encourage them and to help them. You see, that's what the superheroes would do. They would use their gifts, their strengths, not for themselves. They would use it to help hurting people, a broken world. And here's what God is saying to us. He's saying, I'm asking you, I want to put my Holy Spirit in you. I want to change your life. I want to strengthen you, encourage you, empower you, because then I want to send you forth from where you are to a world that is broken, to a world that is hurting, to a world that is lost, so that we can take the message, the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. What is the gospel? What is this good news? The gospel is a simple message that Jesus Christ, God, the Son of God, left heaven, came to this earth as a man clothed in flesh, that he would live a perfect, sinless life so that he could die on a cross on a hill called Calvary. Not because of any sin that he had committed, not because of anything that he had done wrong, but for us. He was the perfect sacrifice that could pay the penalty for our sin, for your sin, for my sin. He would die on a cross and rise from the dead in order to give us the gift of eternal life. You see, the truth of the matter is we've all sinned and we've all come short of the glory of God. The Bible says there's none of us that is righteous. No, not one. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the gift that God wants to give to every one of us. And it's the greatest gift that we could have, this gift of eternal life, that we'll live with God forever. That we don't have to be separated from God when we die. That we can spend all of eternity with Him. But that eternity starts now. That we can live with Him today, now, in this life, in this world, overcoming, being victorious, because we surrendered our heart and our life to Him. Our part is simple. Jesus did the hard part. He already came to this earth. He lived the perfect life. He died on a cross. He rose from the dead. He's done His part. Now, all that we have to do is put our faith and our trust in Him and ask Him to come into our heart, ask Him to come into our life, to become our Lord, our Savior, to wash us, to cleanse us, to forgive us of all our sin. And if you're here today and you've never asked Jesus to come into your life, if you've never surrendered to Him and made Him your Lord and Savior, I want to tell you that's the next decision that you need to make. It's the next best decision that you can make, is to ask Jesus into your life. Lord Jesus, we thank You that You loved us so much, that You came to this earth and lived that perfect sinless life so that You could be our sacrifice, so You could die in our place. And Father, I'm just asking today, if there are those that are here in this building or maybe watching online who recognize their need for Jesus. We've all failed. We've all come short of the glory of God. None of us are righteous. Many in this place have already cast their selves on Jesus and asked Him to come into their heart and life and save them. Many of us walk the Christian walk today. But maybe there's some that have not yet made that decision. Or maybe there was a time in your life where you were walking with the Lord and you were close to Him and you knew Him as your Lord and Savior, but you strayed away. And today you really don't have the confidence that if you were to die, that you'd be in heaven with the Lord. I want to give you that opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior right now. As heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I'd love to pray with you. I'd love to know that you're here, that God has spoken to you. And so if God has spoken to you and you're ready to surrender your life to Jesus, would you just raise your hand right where you are right now? Would you lift your hand? Yes, I see that hand. Is there another? Yes, down front. Is there another? Over to my right, I see the hand. Is there another in this place today? As the Lord is speaking to you, that you know that what you need to do more than anything else is to give your life to Him, surrender to Him. Right where you sit, I'm going to ask you to just pray this prayer with me. Pray it from your heart and mean it, and invite Jesus into your life. Pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I come to You, and I confess that I am a sinner. I am lost without You, but I believe that You are the Son of God, that You are the perfect Son of God, that You died on a cross and You rose from the dead to pay the penalty for my sin and to provide me eternal life. Jesus, I invite You into my life today. I repent. I turn away from my past, from my sins. And I turn to You and I say, Jesus, wash me in Your blood. Cleanse me today. Help me to live for You for the rest of my life. Thank You, Jesus, for hearing my prayer. Thank You, Jesus, for saving me today. And now I confess that I am a child of God. I am a Christian. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Amen. Come on, Spirit Life Church, let's celebrate today. I'm going to ask you if you'll stand with me this morning. Please stand all around the room. One of the things that's beautiful about Spirit Life Church is things don't always go the way we plan it, because we want to just let the Holy Spirit do what He wants to do, right? My brother's just sharing with me just a testimony of how the first time that you ever came to our church was one of these special days that we were having like today. It was an Easter. We had the big Easter egg hunt and all the other things, and his kids wanted to come, and he came, and it has totally transformed his life. And he just wants to share his testimony. And I want you to hear it, because it's powerful.
Hi, guys. My name is Johnny. Been around 54 years. My mom, my grandmother, Christian from the day I was born. I always went off the path, back on the path, back off. Been through the military. This last time I went off was about 10 years ago. And I looked down on people. Lost my house. Lost cars. Lost everything I had except my children. On Easter Sunday, my daughter said that they're doing an Easter egg hunt over here. But a parent would have to be with them. And my mama, she asked me every week, go back to God, go back to God, go back to God. Armageddon's coming. The end of the world isn't here. The signs are here. So I came that day. We did an Easter egg hunt. And I gave my life to Jesus again. A week later, I was baptized. We lost family in Ukraine. My mom passed away in May. On May 17th, I was sitting in someone in my house, and I was praying. I said, God, how can I get down to Lawton? I got a text, and I have it in black and white for anyone to see that this is God. I got a check saying I can come in to go get a card. I'm being pre-approved. I've never filled anything out. I got back credit. If the numbers were backwards, I would probably be a millionaire on my credit score. But anyways, I went down there. Things were a little difficult, but I drove out with a car. This was May 17th. My mom passed on May 19th. The license plate that they gave me, the temporary one, says May 19th. My mom, when they came and got my mom after she passed, she had like every nephew, every cousin, every son. I had two brothers that came from Germany, and how that even worked out within two days on emergency flights, I don't know, God. But where I'm going with it is, my mom was so peaceful, and we kept telling her, Mom, you can go now. Let go, you can go. You're with Jesus. She was in her living room, and she was Christian music. It was Air One or something like that, at radio. And I remember my mom saying, and we were just there, I was talking to my sister, and I heard her saying, I'm ready now, Jesus. 2 minutes later, my mama passed away. The people that came and picked her up, the corner office and the hospice, they said, I've never felt an energy like that. Been doing it about over 20 years. My mama Riz, we felt her spirit, and even the Apache native person that transported her to the morgue, he asked if he could sing a song for us, and the native sung about Christ, and the song was about, to make it easier to take my hands, Jesus, take my hands and take me to paradise. And it's beautiful. I'm going to try to bring it next week. It's on my other phone. But anyways, I'm telling y'all, Jesus is real. There is nothing about it. He is here. He is with you. Don't let go. Get stronger in him and all your problems will go away. God bless every one of y'all.
Amen. We do all the things that we do. It's because we want to see lives transformed like this, to be able to stand and give a testimony. I'm going to invite our prayer team to come to the front, and we're going to close this service and give you an opportunity. If you came today and there's some pain in your life, you're hurting, you need some help, Jesus loves you. He wants to meet you here. He wants to touch you. He wants to change you, and we're willing to pray for you. We're inviting everybody to remain and to stay. In fact, let me just tell you that next week, there's some special stuff going on. Caleb, there's a raffle. If you hang out this afternoon and sign up, I think they're giving away a MacBook next Sunday if you come back. So, I mean, not a little small thing there. It's a pretty major prize. So we want you to stay, hang out, go to the, have the fun, let your kids enjoy all of that. Actually, next Sunday, we'd love to have all of you come back. We're going to have a meal here for our guests. If you're here today as a guest, come back, and we've got a special meal planned for you next week, along with the raffling and all of that. But also, we're going to be doing continuing in our series. Guys, if you'll roll that video that just shares with us, and then we're just going to wrap up here with a final word of prayer. That's our upcoming series. We hope that you'll come back next Sunday and invite a friend. Again, our prayer team is coming to join me here at the front. And as I give this closing prayer, we encourage you, if you need prayer, come and let us pray with you. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you today. We thank you for your great love for us. And Father, I ask that you administer to each one. Lord, those who raised their hand, those who prayed that prayer sincerely from their heart and invited you into their life, we rejoice, we thank you. We ask, God, that you would help them to grow and become the full disciples that you want them to be. Help the rest of us to walk in your power and in your might and to do the things that you have called us to do. Lord, despite the weaknesses, despite the flaws, despite our failures, despite our shortcomings, because we're looking to Jesus, who's the author and the finisher of our faith. And we give you praise for all you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.